This is the Rocky Mountain Bible School, Friday, June 27th, 2025. Our third period speaker is Brother Jason Robinson from the Thousand Oaks Ecclesia. His theme is Angels Among Us. Today's topic is Fellow Servants of the Future. Brother Jason.
Well, for the final time this week, good morning, brothers and sisters. What a fast week we've had, and I want to thank everyone for their amazing stories, your attention, the committee, of course, for all the work that you guys do up here at this Bible school. In our final session, we're going to take a look at our future when we shall be like made like unto the angels. Before we do that, we have a couple of things, items of housekeeping to go over. As I mentioned, I'd like to thank all of you for those of you who shared your stories about how angels have impacted your life directly. I was at almost 30 stories from you guys. So thank you very much. They were all incredibly encouraging, and we were able to share snippets of a few of them. Some of the stories took more than 20 years before we could look back and see what the purpose was. We heard stories of angels working with physical health, spiritual health, working with relationships, gently nudging us in the right direction, not so gently nudging us in the right direction. Some stories are still playing out. We don't know what that purpose is in mind, but we maybe have been encouraged a little bit more to stick it out and to put our faith in God and His ultimate plan. So as we prepare to go back to our lives, as good employees of Dominion Global, I have two further assignments for you to really take with you as you move forward. Spend some time each week seeing if you can look back. Check yourself. See, were there times in the day or the week or the month that angels were working with you? And then finally, see if you can talk to some people about how angels worked with them directly. And this I'd like to leave you as your assignment for the team department Aura. Ask someone in your ecclesia who came into the truth to share how it happened, and I've enjoyed so many stories of this. As they tell their story, ask them to dig deeper. Ask them the whys. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If you're Team Beta, something nice as you're trying to build yourself up, consider writing yourself a letter from your future self as an angel. And write it and say, congratulations, you made it, and you worked through problem X. You worked through that big temptation or issue or struggle or confusion that you had. You made it, and here's how you did it. And then finally, if you were in Department DOMA and you were looking at the macro affairs of the world, try to tackle a couple of these and just experiment in your head and say, well, if I was this angel and if I was, you know, really in charge of Iran at this moment or Ukraine at this moment, what am I trying to get to? What am I trying to move forward with? Again, this is healthy, I believe, because it will be our goal one day in the future if our Father remains away. Before we continue on to our next series, I'd like to share with you an extremely underwhelming reminder of your employment here at Dominion Global. So I'm just going to bring it to the front. If you could just take one. Pass it down, that would be terrific. Again, extremely underwhelming, but when you use it, maybe you could just remember that angels are definitely at work in your life. There are times when we can see them, and unfortunately there's times when we can't. We need to have that faith that they are still there. And while we're passing these out, they're just pens, don't get too excited. I'd like to thank a few people, our brother Josh Livermore for opening up his house for me to deliver them to and arranging for them when they were delivered late to arrange with the Bedelis for bringing them to the camp here. And I would not like to thank FedEx Overnight Priority Express for taking 4 nights to get here. All right. If you're interested in the topic, I'd like to just put up a few books that you can continue your reading with, the first being Collier's take on Robert Roberts. I loved this book. It's a different approach at looking at Brother Roberts' life. It's one where he takes this approach, and he tackles it in a way that we've seen in a lot in our angel stories. And he says, well, look at this. What are the chances this happens? And what are the chances this happens in the life of Brother Robert Roberts? And again, that's Brother Islip Collier, very, very talented writer. Also, The Visible Hand of God by Brother Robert Roberts, one of my all-time favorite books already before this study was this, and you could tell that this has been a theme throughout this study, is you look back at the visible, and that gives you that faith to move forward and have faith that God is working in the invisible. And then finally, for today's class in particular, I'd like to recommend Dr. Stephen Whitehouse's book.
Yeah,
that's exactly you. No, seriously, there are a few copies, I believe, still in the library here. But this one really looks into what it'll be like to be an angel, and it opens up with looking at the kingdom age, our role, our responsibilities, our tasks in it. And I think it outlines it very efficiently. So again, those three books, highly recommend you checking out to kind of further your study here on this topic of angels. All right, so I want to review from yesterday very quickly. We know that the free will, we are down here. The ultimate goal is, again, to elevate our free will so that our will becomes the will of the Heavenly Father. It's the only thing we can actually give to the Father is our obedience. And so the angels are working to bring these two things together. God does not come down. We must come up. But they work together with us in this endeavor. And I love the way that Revelation puts it. We've touched on this verse before, but it says in Revelation 22, we are in the final chapter, the handful of verses, the last handful of verses in all of the Bible. It says in Deuteronomy 22, starting at verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy in this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." And he's overwhelmed by the vision which he's just had in 21 and a half chapters. "Then the angel said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." He says, worship God. And that is exactly the principle that John learned, is one that we must learn. We worship God, but we work together as fellow servants with each other and ultimately with the angels. And John had a special role. John was employed by Christ to receive these visions. And he saw them and he used them and he worked with them. And so the angel says, get up, John, don't worship me. We're working together. We're fellow servants. And I believe the principle applies in a little way to us as well. We work together with those angels. Because ultimately, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that God is our Savior and his desire is that all people be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. Unfortunately, it's not all people's desire to be saved, but it is God's. And so the angels work with us. They work towards this. They try to elevate our will to God's. And this idea of a fellow servant from Revelation comes up a couple times in a couple amazing stories in Scripture that we'll just look at briefly. The first one is Joshua chapter 5. We know the stories that we're going to go over now. They're common and they're very enjoyable. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And we know the story. He says, "No, as captain of the host of Yahweh am I now come." And he falls on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" He says, "We're here to fight." And he goes alongside Joshua. And we know the same story in 2 Kings. Elisha prays that his servant would see the hills full of the angels. And his servant, his eyes are opened even further, and he looks, and the mountains are covered in angels. Brothers and sisters, they are truly fellow servants. In the kingdom age, we work alongside them, we will be instantly promoted to be just like them as fellow servants. But for now, we share a few things. We share masters, don't we? Yahweh. We both serve the same being, one to a far higher capacity. We also share that purpose to ultimately bring about the glory of Yahweh over this planet. We both work towards that. We've been created in their shape. We certainly don't share all, but we share a handful of attributes that they've been given unto us. And ultimately, we share, I pray, will. That just like Joshua, Elisha, and Daniel, we can actually maybe see that invisible ally serving alongside of us. So if we can achieve this purpose and this will, then what we are told is we will be elevated to, Mark and Luke, be like the angels. So if we were going to take our life, and it's a familiar graphic we've looked at before, but if we were going to take our life with our ups and our downs, and we were going to say, well, ultimately, what are we all working towards as fellow servants? The angels and us as mortals. What are we working towards? Is there a purpose, a path, and a permission, as we've seen? This is how the angels work. Does it apply equally to us? Well, of course it does, brothers and sisters. But what is the purpose? No wrong answers here. What would you label as the purpose of what the angels and us are working towards? Shout them out. Passages, verses, concepts, ideas.
What is our hope and joy and crown of rejoicing?
Excellent. What else? God's glory, filling the earth. It's a familiar verse. I'd like to just put it up on the screen. It's one that we've read. Daniel 7, 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. What are the angels working towards? Finally finishing Genesis 1 and 2. When there's people who they can finally turn that dominion over to for good, that's what they're working towards. That's the purpose. The angels and us work together, and man, we fight against them sometimes, but they, in their compassion and mercy, pull us along. But what about the path? Any concepts or verses that we could show how the angels work with us along that path? There's probably a lot of verses for this one. A great one I heard from the teens is that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Do you feel that? Remember the ups and the downs? That's how we learn. Anything else?
Walking in faith.
Great. We walk in faith, right? That's the looking back so we can see forward. It's not an exciting verse, but the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall inherit salvation. They march us along all very, very different paths, but they march us along towards that purpose. And then finally, come with me to the permission. In Zechariah chapter 3, because what we ultimately see, brothers and sisters, in Zechariah's gospel, in Zechariah's prophecy, in chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, if you take that free will and you bump it up to my will, then thou shalt also judge my house and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Who are those that stand by? That's the angels. And God says, if you can do these things, if you could take your free will and just notch it up to be Yahweh's will, to look on the Son and believe in him, I'll give you places to walk. And you'll walk right alongside an angel. You'll walk right next to him as a fellow servant. And so the purpose ultimately is finally to give that dominion over now to the saints. The angels are the ones who guide us along a transformative journey. And Zechariah has told us that it's his promise of grace to put us in places to walk next to those that stand by. And so the permission, the path, and the purpose are very clear as we journey together with these angels. And as we've looked at, and as just as a reminder, it's important to remember as we leave this place, the angels, they know the purpose. We don't know the purpose all the time. And we look at it one way, and the angels say, just hang on. Just hang on. We'll get there. You'll look back and you'll say, wow. You're right. That was the best choice. And so ultimately, brothers and sisters, what we look towards is that time when dominion will be given to the saints. Now, we think of a verse in Luke. We've read it. The joy and the emotions of the angels over what? One sinner that repents. One sinner that repents. If there's joy in the presence of the angels over that, just imagine the joy when thousands and thousands and thousands of sinners are made like unto the angels. There is no joy that has ever been experienced when this earth is given to them, and when this earth and the dominion is passed to the saints. But brothers and sisters, then what? What's for us? What will it be like to be an angel? The mission statement, of course, of an angel now is to guide us to have faith. Hopefully that's been evident. They guide us in our lives so that we can see that they are working and that God has a plan. That is exactly what we will do. But the tools that we will be given are much like the angels. So now what we're going to do is just spend a few minutes looking at some of those attributes we'll receive as immortals, made like unto the angels. And I think it might be helpful, as we're imagining these and trying to make them more real for us, is imagine and actually in your mind pick someone or something real today that you can imagine in these scenarios. So the first one is we will be visible personal teachers. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20 to 21 says, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Jeremiah, "And I will give you shepherds after mine own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." And a nice exercise that it might be is to picture someone. Don't picture someone in the ecclesia. They'll be standing next to you. But picture someone. Is it someone at work that you've thought, you know what? I've always wanted to teach the truth to that person. I'm going to come to them first. Is it your neighbor? They would make the best Christadelphian, I tell you. So picture someone as we go through these. Is there someone that you would love to teach in the kingdom that for some reason just is not sticking with right now? You'll be able to have an ability to read and to think into people's minds and to see into them and to peer into them and to use that to your advantage. You'll possess miraculous healing and creative power as the disciples and the apostles did. Is there anyone you could think of that you would just love to heal, to help see the message of the gospel? You'll be able to provide compassionate hands-on care as the angels did in the time of Abraham and Lot. You'll move with swift worldwide mobility. And this is the one that the little kids always talk about. I can fly. And while it's cool for the kids, that still would be awesome. This is still amazing to think about, that angel that stood over David. And he looks up and he sees the angel of God. You'll be able to tap and to peer into Yahweh's foresight and foreknowledge. Have we looked at a story this week where that was done by the angels? What's the story? Oh, all of them? True. Daniel chapter 10. What happens? The moment Daniel set his heart to prayer, the angels got to work. And Daniel sat there confused for 3 weeks. Why is nothing happening? And the angel comes to him and says, "We've been working on this since the moment your prayer." They were waiting. Isaiah 65, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear." And imagine grabbing an angel and saying, He's about to make his prayer. Are you ready to go? Let's go. That will be our role. And it is not impressive looking, but one of my favorites is we will be faultless. Revelation 14. These were the redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And again, it doesn't sound as impressive as some of these others. But just imagine for a moment, you are without sin, and you don't fear it at all. Nothing evil will ever come into your mind again. And one I'd like to explore for a little bit longer, and to maybe look at some more examples, is you'll be able to control climate and natural forces. Not all the time, not at your will and whim. But it says in Psalm 148, the fire and the hail, snow and the mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. And occasionally, we even read prophecies of how in the kingdom age, weather will be a used tool by the angels, for good or for bad. Now, I'm going to put a list up on the screen, and it's not my own list. It's been in the community for a while. Other brothers have referenced it, and I've added a couple to it. But these are all massive weather phenomenons that have happened at the hand of the angels. Again, we've probably seen a list something like this before. Some incredible, the flood, the opening of the Red Sea. Some lousy sounding, the potato famine. But all of these things are used by the angels and the Heavenly Father to move forward his plan. So I welcome you now to Department Sira, where you get to explore the ideas of using God's abilities on the macro level, on the big scale. Let's look at a few of the examples of how the angels have used this in the past. 1588, the Spanish Armada. They're sailing their way up from Spain, and they're going to attack the English Isles. Some 130 ships seeking to invade England. Coincidentally, powerful storms devastate this armada as it tries to surround those areas of Ireland and Scotland. Had they been successful, Protestant England would have fallen. But because of angelic intervention, in the North Atlantic, half the ships sunk, and they scurried home, and the British Empire was able to rise, and Protestantism was allowed to survive. The French Revolution famines in 88 and 89. In the years leading up to the French Revolution, there were widespread crop failures all across Europe due to unseasonal weather. Food prices skyrocketed, starvation crept in, death was creeping in as well. The immediate trigger was this really harsh, oddly harsh weather in 88 and 89. This destroyed the harvest, which immediately had this massive impact on social unrest. And it really culminated in this French Revolution ultimately. Turns out, just a few years prior, there was an eruption up in Iceland of a massive volcano, the Laki volcano. Plumes of sulfur dioxide filled the atmosphere, and it creates this haze that lasted for years over this region. This led, ultimately, to terrible famines, long winters. Napoleon's defeat in Russia, we're going to skip this one for sake of time. But we'll come back to Napoleon in 1815, the Battle of Waterloo, his ultimate demise. The French Revolution allowed for the man like Napoleon to rise up in France and fulfill words found in Revelation 16. On June 18, 1815, he faced the battles of the Prussians and the English, but it turns out there was a devastatingly large rainstorm. Very unusual for this time of year and this place, and it slowed Napoleon's army. It didn't give him time to bring his artillery into the area, and this gave the Prussian army time to arrive and support the British forces there. Turns out, just 2 months earlier, Mount Tabora in Indonesia had blown its top volcanically. You can look it up. It is still to this day the most powerful volcanic eruption in recorded history. It sends plumes of ash and sulfur into the atmosphere, altering global weather patterns in this northern hemisphere area. Europe experienced unusually cold and wet precipitation times in what is still called the year without a summer. Napoleon and his conquests ended here thanks to rain. The Irish potato famine, 1845 to 1849, it led to the emigration of 2 million people out of the British Isles and 1 million deaths in this area. Virtually, cold winters, frozen crops, and unusual rain led to fungus and blight in the potatoes, which was the primary crop in the area. And because of this, many people emigrated over to North America. During this time, Brother Thomas was 43 years old. He had established the truth in the New York and Maryland regions, and he went back to England to find social unrest, riots, and uprising stemming from all the starvation and death going on in this time. And so while some of the immigrants are being converted by the gospel that he had left behind and the believers in the East Coast, he teaches the truth of the gospel to a very unsatisfied people in England and Scotland. And during this time in the Isles, he taught a session that was attended by a young boy named Brother Robert Roberts, who at the time was far more impressed with his beard than the actual words that he was speaking. But it got this man thinking. He eventually comes back and continues his work preaching. Dunkirk, 1845 to 1849, in World War II. Over 300,000 Allied troops were stuck inside of France. 18 is not correct. It's 1945 to 1949. The 300,000 Allied troops from England and France are stuck on the shores of France. They can't get back over to England. In a very, very strange turn of events, for about 9 days, this channel is calm. Calm enough for even individuals to take their personal boats and evacuate the troops on the shores. Adding to this was a mist and a haze that sat over the channel for a week and a half, blocking German pilots from doing any damage. The D-Day landings in World War II, 1944. We know this story probably well. There was a break for about 30 hours in the weather, which allowed the Operation Overlord to proceed and ultimately succeed and cause the end of the Nazi regime at the hand of the Allies. In our day and age, the Brexit voting, this one, of course, had many layers and many wrinkles, but one of which was unusually high precipitation in the area in London, a place which was highly expected to vote Remain in the Brexit vote. In early summer of 2016, there was this jet stream, now that we have this ability to see, that was just stuck over the British Isles. It produced a low pressure system, sweeping across southern England. And shockingly, the most impressive downfall was on voting day. And people were stuck or discouraged from voting in these Remain areas. And the last one I'd like to look at is the Atlantic storm with our brother Thomas. Dr. Thomas, as he was known, was departing from London, and he was making his way over to New York. I'm going to put up a few paragraphs on the screen. You can read them along or you can listen. It's a little story. The doctor departed on the 1st of May for New York aboard the Marquis of Wellesley from St. Catherine's Docks, London. He was to act as the surgeon for the 70 passengers and the 19 crew members on the voyage. Foul weather set in from the start. And for 2 weeks, the ship was driven by strong winds and heavy seas until the main mast snapped, carrying away much of the sails with it. The situation grew worse, and as a result of terror, the people exhibited a sudden religious fervor. The doctor was asked to read a passage of scripture and a sermon from Calmer's published sermons. which achieved some calm among the passengers. The storm continued for days. The ship had been blown south, 250 miles off course towards Sable Island. This was indicated to them by passing ships, a fact which the captain rejected, though the doctor expressed some concern. The same evening, Dr. Thomas noticed they were in shallow water. He brought this to the notice of the second mate twice, who ridiculed his sea experience. Only minutes later, the vessel struck the bottom, and with each wave, the ship was in danger of breaking up. One man was lying near the doctor, exclaiming with the terror of a child, "We shall go to the bottom! We shall go to the bottom!" The doctor remarked to him that they were already at the bottom and could go no further. With death looking him in the face and the chances of survival looking grim, Dr. Thomas was faced for the first time with the uncertainty of not knowing what would become of him. He did, quote, determine that if he ever got ashore again, he would never rest till he found out the truth of the matter, end quote. Aided by a change of wind, the ship lifted off, and although severely damaged, after 8 weeks at sea, finally sailed into New York Harbor. And we know the end of that story. We know the purpose that the angels had for that man. We know the path, though much tribulation, but we see the purpose. But brothers and sisters, there's angels at work here. How do we know that there's angels at work in these things? I'd like you to come with me now to the book of Psalm 107. And I want to just read a handful of verses for you and see if maybe there was a script that the angels followed. Maybe the angels do know exactly what they're doing. Psalm 107, verse 23. You can read along. You can listen. Psalm 107, 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of Yahweh and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at wit's end. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's the story, isn't it? That's exactly what happened with Dr. Thomas. And so we thank the angels for working so vividly in our lives. And we look back and we see the visible hand so that we can look forward and see the invisible. And so finally, brothers and sisters, God willing, we will bear the image of the heavenly. So with all these new tools shared with us, our role will literally be just like the angels. And so, brothers and sisters, let's conclude with a quote and a couple more verses. The words of Brother C.C. Walker, "And thus, as we have said elsewhere, the redeemed of the premillennial world, who shall ultimately be incorporated with the cherubim, will be able in that divine estate to say of the mortals under their beneficent rule," that's us talking to the mortals, "he is as one of us, knowing good and evil. He may take of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God, and eat and live forever, but only in the way which Yahweh God permits, under our instruction, guardianship, and jurisdiction. And brothers and sisters, young people, we will be made like unto the angels, and the angels will pass on the responsibility to us, and we will take the mortals under the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and teach them faith." and this big, beautiful planet we live on will be transferred from angels and the dominion given ultimately to the saints under the Lord Jesus Christ. For it says in Hebrews 2, from the New King James, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." The world to come will be given to the saints, not to angels. The angels will take a step back. Christ and the saints will finish their role. And finally, brothers and sisters, the words of 1 Corinthians 15. "When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him." Finally, brothers and sisters, that God may be all in all. So as our week ends and we look at angels, I hope our faith has grown just a little bit. I hope we've been encouraged by their constant care and ministration for us. And as we each leave Bible school, we follow a common purpose: to look on the Son and believe. And when he returns, may our Father find us waiting and watching, and may the Lord Jesus Christ grant us places in his kingdom as angels of a new age. But for the time being, may we always remember there are angels among us. And just like our brother Bill, I'd like to close with a hymn. And I've asked our sister Kelly from CME to play for us hymn 310. And after we have sung together hymn 310, please remain standing for a closing word of prayer with our brother Gary Cousins from Brant County Ecclesia. Hymn 310, and I'll read from the second verse. "Who are these of dazzling brightness, as the angels now arrayed, clad in robes of purest whiteness, robes whose luster never shall fade, never be touched by time's rude hand? Whence came all this glorious band?" Hymn 310.